Friends, greetings of the day. Now, today we are moving on to a new chapter, which is security and vigilance. Let me first explain the term security and vigilance. Security, the proper definition would be a degree of resistance to or protection to assets. The assets could be either material things or human, people, protection, to human from the threat and all that. Vigilance means that you are aware of the threats and what actions you'll take to prevent those threats into becoming into reality or into accidents or incidents. Now let's move on to the first slide. So as the definition is there, security is one of the many functions which do contribute to fulfilling the company objectives and goals, right? Now, what are those objectives and goals? The objectives and goal is a safe environment that the company functions properly. The company provides, comes up with some output, right? Now, basic duties of the security, right, are as mentioned below. But let me first explain, there is physical, which is description of the security. One is where you have manpower. And other is where there is technology. Nowadays, with the advent of new technologies, you have many ways of securing your premises, whether it is commercial, residential, factories, industries, or anything. Instead of having a person being present there, right? Now, let's look at the duties, whether it is technical or whether it is physical. This is what it is. The basic requirement or basic objective of security is to offer protection or prevention of any damage or untoward incident to assets. Assets could be material or human, right? The other duties are if when you are vigilant, if you see there are some trespassers, thieves, or somebody who is trying to do a sabotage, basically trying to damage the premises or threat to the premises, right? Then you need to follow a process before you go ahead to actually handing them over to police, lodging complaints or filing FIRs and all that stuff, right? Now, security, the basic thing is, as I said earlier, is to protect against all losses, whether they are man-made or whether they are, you could say God-made, right? Or there are other threats like earthquakes, floods and all that stuff. Security is a very important aspect of any facility or any property, right? Even though you have a building, you have certain, you live in a residential complex, you have security there, right? Who are vigilants? Right. Even if you have your own bungalow or own farmhouse or whatever it is, right, you have security there who is standing in guard and ensuring that there is no perceivable threat. Right. Now, what we say is that security is the first line of defense. Right. Now, if let me explain it to you better. If your phone is just lying on a table in a public place, right? So people could be encouraged to flick it or to pick it up. If somebody is sitting next to it, definitely people will not do it. That was one part of explaining how the security offers a line of defense. Suppose if you keep camera focusing on it, right, then also people will not. So it is a physical presence of either a person who ensures it or a technology who ensures it that no untoward incident happened is what the security is all about. Hence, security department is the first line of defense. Whenever you enter anything, what you see is a guard at the door. Whether it is a factory, whether it is a commercial complex or residential complex, that is what you normally see. Now, for them to function better, right, if there is any incident which happens which doesn't fall under your purview and falls under the purview of law, right, It doesn't mean you have a security. That means he has a stick which he brandishes, or if he's being given a licensed revolver, he just uses it as per his whims and fancies. No. He has to obey the rule of the law. Right? So all security department, whether they are in factory or whatever it is, need to have a good connect with the local police. Right? And they should know the local police number. They should at least keep a tab on who is the senior inspector there and all that stuff. Other part is they should be very well trained. As and when required, if you call for police protection, they should be trained so they can work with the police department as an assistance to the police department, right? So they should be suitably trained. It doesn't mean they need to be trained on weapons and all that stuff, but they should have the basic know-how of how to manage any incident. There has to be a mutual aid scheme among security organizations of all types. So basically, if there is any untoward incident, then as you know, in any city or in any village or in any industrial setup, there are multiple departments. You could have the Central Reserve Police Force, CRPF. You could have industrial security. You could have the local police department. So there needs to be, and your private security, there needs to be some kind of collaboration between all these different agencies, right? Now, the most important part for a security to identify is issue of identity cards. So a person, if a person has that identity card, or if that vehicle has the pass, then definitely he will be given permission to enter the premises. Okay, if it is not there, then definitely it will help him identify that this is an uncalled visitor, whether he could be a visitor or a perpetrator, right? The other part is wireless communication. Earlier you used to have walkie talkies, ham radio. Nowadays it is very simple. The cost of communication is also less. You could have mobiles, right? So that also helps in communicating between different agencies or different security guards within the same premises. Whether the guard is at the gate or the back gate or front gate or the terrace, so there could be a good communication between them. Now let's look at the basic duties of a security guard. The basic duties of a security guard are to ensure that the premises is safe and it is protected, right? And he offers some kind of resistance against either natural or man-made threats, right? Suppose there is a flood, or there is some overflow from a sewage, or could be a river or water pipeline. So then he informs the necessary people within the organization, and so then the organization can take some actions when the damage is minimal, right? Or if he sees a crowd coming towards the premises, then he can inform so that the other machinery could get into traction and could take the necessary steps as per the protocol in preventing any untoward incident. Other is, as I said, is prevention, detection and reacting. So it is very necessary that a right action is taken for a right incident. Definitely, suppose there is a flood, then definitely the action has to be different. If there is an earthquake, or the action has to be different. If there is a crowd which is gone beyond control, the action has to be different. If there is an individual who is acting funny, then there is an action which has to be different. So that's why it is necessary that he is very well trained on different situation and what is the standard protocol for those different situations. Now he should be a good PR, right? Because as we said earlier, if you remember, as the receptionist is the face of the organization, definitely the first point where a visitor comes in contact with is the guard at the gate, right? So he needs to be very interactive PR. He also needs to be interactive with other officials, right? Whether it's the police department, whether it's the local municipal body and all the other things. He should know the law, he should be very well trained, right? And he should have the necessary skills to identify what kind of a problem is there and how to contain that situation, right? So security, your personal security, is actually an extended arm of the police department, because police can't deploy hawaldars or guards everywhere, right? So this is the first line of defense, right? So that's where we come. As to correlate you is that how the BSF is first line of defense for Army, Navy and the Air Force. Similarly, the security guard is the first line of defense for the police department. Now, moving ahead, the person should be very well trained in taking leadership, right? It doesn't mean that there is an incident and the guard only runs away, right? So he should take ownership, he should take responsibility, and as he is being deputed at that site, he will know the site or the industry or the factory or the residential complex better. So he can help in assisting the police, he can tell, as I said, firefighters, knowing where the fire water tank is, right, where there is other places of escape, right? So all those other things. Also, he has to control basically the premises, who is supposed to enter, who is not supposed to be entering, okay, what is the process, ask people questions, whom you want to meet, okay? So that's the first level of screening before they enter the premises and come to the reception, right? Ensure that at least ask them where they want to go, right? And then check whether that person is there, right? Not just blindly open the gate and allow anyone inside. They also do have to do a first line of screening of baggages, right? So that you don't have anyone carrying any items which are not supposed to be inside that premises, right? He is also responsible in controlling and restoring order if there is a crowd, right? Then other part we identified earlier is preventive, right? Predictive or preventive. If he sees not only about the potential dangers of crowd or untoward incident or some funny character at the gate, or realizes there is a parcel. Suppose he is next to the gate, and next to the gate there is a transformer which is parking, right? So also that can be informed by him. If he sees that the water pipe has generated a leak or sewage is generated a leak, so all these things. So this is also a preventive work. And by saying that doesn't mean that only he has to do, but anyone and everyone who is passing by realizes that this is something which is out of context, then definitely it has to be reported to the guard, and the guard will follow his process. Now, as I said, security is of two types, right? One is physical and another is technical. Now, if you have a lock on the door, right, unless and until you have the necessary card which has a code in it and opens that digital lock, you cannot enter. It is as correlated to a guard who will ask you question, see your ID and then allow you inside the premises. Similarly, there is access control. So access control is a system wherein there is a card, there is a card reader, and then definitely there is a lock. So only if your card is programmed, you show it to the card reader, then it will give a signal and the lock will open, right? So that's how access control works. Now, if you have multiple such doors which are access control, right, so the card can be programmed. Now you have to decide whether you want to give him a regular card, right, or you give him an access control card, right? If you give him a regular card, then the visitor has to be escorted, because then the guard will have access to all the doors and he will only allow him inside the door where he is supposed to be, okay? Similarly, when his work is done, if he has to move out, then somebody has to open the door and then escort him outside the premises, right? Now, other part is material. Now, all as we have valuables at home, similarly, there are valuables in facilities or industries, right? So, controlling the in and out of material is a very important thing. Now, these materials definitely are not limited to products, right? They are also company assets. So, it could be as simple as, say, a printer, a laptop, right? And many other things. So it is necessary that God is very well aware of what material has to go out, what material has to stay in. There is a proper process whether somebody has authorized it to move out. Right? So that is what a guard has to check, basically material access. Now crowd control. Suppose there is, you have a factory and there is some friction between the management and the labor or between some agency, then the guard has to have, as I said earlier, police is definitely very well trained on doing crowd control, but the guard needs to know how to basically manage the crowd and not add fuel to the fire and aggravate the situation. So what we are trying to say here is that he knows in case of there is a big crowd coming, what actions are supposed to be taken, how he is supposed to respond to the crowd, right? And not aggravate the situation. Try to dispose the threat. Now other is traffic control, right? So as earlier mentioned that he has to coordinate with other, he definitely should know how to manage the traffic inside the premises, right? If it's a private car, where it needs to go, if it is a goods car, where it needs to go, right? So all those things. So the guard should know, make entry of the car, note the number or ask where it is. Where if it is employee, then he must be shown the employee parking. If it's a visitor, then show where the visitor has to be car has to be parked. If it's a VVIP, then where it is to be do. If it is a material thing, whether it is raw material or finished product, where the vehicles have to be parked. If it is trash or garbage, where it has to go. So all those things of managing the vehicles moving in and out of the premises is what the guard also has to take charge of. Now, how do you maintain security? One is physical, wherein you have people moving around, and other is technical, which you can do by CCTV or closed circuit television. Right? We'll come to that later. But basically, patrolling. Right? So, how if there is a big perimeter, you can't have guards every 50 meters or 100 meters, right? Because you also have costs associated with it. So if it is a very well secured premises, you could have one guard walking around the perimeter of the premises, either full or half or certain section of it. What happens to this is that it acts as a resistance. Okay, so the intruders or whoever would, a funny character who would try to create some ruckus there, knows that yes, there is a guard moving around. Okay, while doing this, he can do a lot of things. Okay. So that he also is occupied and not just walking around. He can keep a tab on the transformers, he can see if the boiler is there. While moving by, he could see a panel in which if there are three reds, red, orange and green, okay, all the lights are green. If there is amber, then he can call someone and say this is amber or orange. Or if it's gone to red, then he can be the first person to raise an alarm. Not necessary, you need to have a technical person there, right? So that's part of patrolling. No, as I said, if it's a perimeter, he can do foot patrol, he can walk around. If it's a big facility, then definitely he needs to be given a vehicle. If it's a car or a golf cart with radio, okay, so that he can communicate, that is also possible. Surveillance. Now, surveillance is when you keep an eye, okay, on certain things. Now, surveillance can be physical, as we said earlier, where the guard moves around, or it can be a camera. Okay, the camera can be fixed or it can be one which moves around, right? So it could have a span of area which it covers, and that how it can be managed, and it can be put at different parts. How you can keep a guard at the entrance, one at the back gate, other at the side, one at the terrace or other areas where you need to have somebody. Similarly, you can place cameras there. The cameras can be connected to a central control room, and a guard sitting there can look at all those cameras. So you can reduce physical dependencies on human. You have technology. Plus, most important part is that when you use this, the day-to-day activities could be recorded, right? So in future, if you want to reference it back, what happened 3 hours early, or if there was a person there, there was a car there, what was the color of the car, what was the number, or the person sitting inside the car, that is how you can trace that information or recollect that information from the system. Right? Now, the other part, why we were saying technology is important is that definitely being a human being, he would need to go have breaks, but there are other influences also. Somebody might be addicted to say cigarettes or gutkha or drugs or even alcohol, right? So it is necessary that this kind of substance abuse, okay, or having these substances while on active duty is prohibited, and there is a strict action taken against that person, because not only he puts himself to danger, he will put the property at the risk, the also the people at the risk, right? Because his responses will not be that sharp, or he under the influence of these substances, he would not operate more efficiently, right? Now let's look at the basic key functions of security. As I said, he is first line of defense. Definitely he'll screen people coming inside and then identify he's an employee or he's a visitor, right? He will ensure that he prevents or regulates the access of certain locations, right? Not even an employee can walk into a transformer thing. No, then he or a visitor. He has to be a service engineer who can go inside that premises. Suppose there is a boiler or there is a fire pump or there is a water pump, then the person who is authorized or is supposed to be there, only that person should go there. In case of emergencies, he should follow the protocol, right? If he sees a crowd coming, it is not necessary that he goes ahead and gives a statement, but typically he can ensure that the crowd remains under control and he pacifies the situation or disperses the situation. Not aggravated, right? Other key function is that whenever there is certain thing, when he is doing surveilling either by patrolling or by using technology of camera, then he should escalate it to the right people, right? And take the first line of action, right? Now, as a simple incident, if there is a fire, right? If he is trained, then he can use the fire extinguisher. Or if the fire is beyond his control, then raise an alarm, okay? Or inform the organization inside and the other agencies outside, like the police, fire department, ambulance services, depending upon the severity of the incident, right? Now, as we said, is that technology, as I said earlier, CCTV, it is called closed circuit television, TV, right? Now, why it is called closed circuit is that because all cameras, wherever they are connected to a central control room, right? So it is a closed circuit and the information stays only within it. Hence, it is called closed circuit and no outside party can log into it, right? So that's why closed circuit. Now, these are the different aspects of a CCTV. Definitely, you will have cameras, right? Those are digitals. Now cameras also many times there are one which are fixed, okay, there are one which come with a joystick wherein you can move the camera left, right, up, down, you can zoom in, zoom out, right? So those are called PTZ or pan, tilt, zoom, PTZ cameras, right? Then definitely as I said, when you have it connected to an access control, you could have a card reader, you could have some place biometric like thumb, and then you can come inside. Okay, then there is communication like intercom or mobile or your wireless, wherein the people can communicate from the grid to the main premises. Now when we talk about basic office building security, as I said earlier, the work of security remains the same, but it is little different for different types of building. It is completely different for an industrial setup to a commercial office setup or a residential setup, right? But basically a guard is someone who stands there, right, and acts your first line of defense in collaboration with the other technical part like you have your alarm system, fire alarm system, intruder alarm system, cameras and all that stuff, right? Now, there are many ways of looking at building security. You can have a guard at the gate and guard backside, or you can have a proper high quality CCTV. Also, you can go to a much level like access control. Access control can be card or biometric, right? Biometric is more secure because a card, if stolen, can be utilized, right? But biometric, whether it is a retina scan or whether it is a thumb scan, it is unique to a person, right? And it is not very easy to duplicate. I am not saying it can't be duplicated, but it is very difficult to duplicate, right? So you have the monitored alarm system, unmonitored alarm system, a wireless alarm system, a system designed for outside of the building. So monitored alarm system is that, one, we say there is an operator who ensures this. Unmonitored is that it will give an alarm, okay, and then the guard will see. A wireless alarm system is that once there is an alarm, it will send signals to two or three different people, right? And then there is a system which is very basic for outside of the building. You must have seen in residential complexes, you don't need a control room, right? You just need few cameras here, and on it is, it can be unmonitored, and from time to time somebody would check it, right? Now, security in stores, right? Material access. So you have to keep basic things correct, right? If you want to take care of your precious or valuable things, then you should ensure that they are kept very safe. You can't have best of the securities and left things out in the open. They should be properly stacked, kept and all that stuff. That is what it is mentioned here, is that it should be within a closed space, either by a brick wall or fencing. There are people who guard it, okay? Not only this, it should be also covered. If there is a there are goods which could be perishable by rain or by sun or by temperature fluctuation, then it should be safe and it should be kept in a controlled environment, right? If it's a store, then it should be properly locked. You should have a proper process of how the material is kept inside, how the material is moved out, then who will have the keys in case there is something which is moved out and there is no proper documentation, who has to be called, which are the people who can enter it, and all those things in place, right? So it is necessary that you have a certain process in place. Now, if you remember, we have in our earlier chapters, we had identified risk, and we said that one way of reducing the risk is transferring the risk, right? So now, definitely I am not saying there is a risk of having guards, but it is not your core competency. If you are a technology company, your core competency is generating software or programs. If you are a food company, your core competency is to generate food products. But security is not your function. So then it can be outsourced. So by doing this outsourcing, you also transfer the risk and you are free to do something else. So if a person or an organization is good in a certain activity, then definitely you give that out activity to him and he'll take care of it. And you can have a monthly, daily, weekly, quarterly, half yearly or annual checkpoint. Right, so that is what outsourcing happens, and with this you have a lot of flexibility, right? You have a lot of freedom. You can use that time on doing something else, right? Now, always I would say, whenever you outsource something, there are pros and cons, right? The pros are mentioned below. As I said, now you can concentrate on your core activity and not worry about day-to-day operation. That will be taken by somewhere else. People are there, guards are missing, gone on leave, not well, any issues with them, that all can be sorted out by this third party. There is definitely a cost saving, and cost saving is not always by means of money, but cost saving is that if you have your guards, then you will need to have a department in place, people in place. There will be a lot of time spent on it. So that time saved there can be used somewhere else, so it can be converted into savings. Not always savings are tangible, they are intangible also. Now, as I said earlier, is that you save money because of so many reasons, right? You can concentrate on something else, there is, as very clearly mentioned, there is one less thing that you have to worry about, right? And you can then concentrate on your core areas of business and see to it that how your business grows further, right? Now, whenever you outsource these services, as we said, there are advantages, pros, there are definitely cons. You will not have a complete control over them, right? There would be certain levels of control, and you will not have a direct control, right? So that is definitely there if you hire what you could say is, in simple words, is fly-by-night operator, someone who is novice, who doesn't know the rules and regulations, statutory requirements, who doesn't have the right mix of guards, untrained guards, then that inexperience will cause you more harm than benefit. So when you are outsourcing, it should be outsourced to a correct agency, right? And you will be free from all the other issues, right? You are trying to outsource this so that you can concentrate on your core business. But if this outsourced agency is inexperienced, then instead of giving you benefit, it will generate more problems for you. So it is necessary that you do a proper research, a proper procurement process is followed. You do cost check, you do reference check, okay? You can even run a pilot with them for a few months and see how their guards perform, and then finalize a contract. Vigilance. In earlier, what we said is that security and vigilance. So security was defined as the degree of resistance or protections against threats to your assets. Similarly, vigilance is wherein you do preventive activities, that you keep an eye on your surroundings and are aware of what possible issues could happen, right? So here, as it is mentioned here, there are many losses or damages to the organization because of many things, not even technical things, but human, like bribery, corruption, misappropriation, okay? And there could be external or internal people who might be involved in sabotage, right? So vigilance is necessary that you prevent all these untoward incidents. Like how you need to be vigilant about your technical things, your transformer, your DG, so that it doesn't create any problem. Similarly, you need to have vigilance to prevent other man-made issues or man-created human or human-created issues, right? So now how do you do vigilance? Vigilance, as I said, is by seeing or observing, and by a keen eye you can keep vigilance, right? And to have that vigilance, you need to have guards, or you need to have people who are trained, okay? And you have to ensure that you take away opportunities wherein there could be a crime, right? Now if next to a DG set you have a source of fire, or where you are keeping your fuel, there is some source of fire, right? Then definitely there is an accident which is supposed to happen. Similarly, if earlier we see, if your stores are kept open and there is no guard there, then definitely you are inviting trouble, right? So that is how you have to be first ensure that you do a proper walk around audit and see what the points are. Take necessary steps to ensure that incidents don't happen there. If you remember, we had earlier said that you have to do an audit, identify risk, mitigate the risk, transfer risk, right? So the same logic can be applied here in terms of security. And as I said, vigilance is everybody's responsibility. It is not necessarily only guard, when he sees a particular beep or an alarm, he informs, but even a employee who is passing by and sees that can inform the guard or can inform the right people if he knows them in the organization, so that they can take necessary steps. With this, the chapter comes to a quick closure, and I hope that the information was very good and you learned something from here. Thank you. Take care.